Blog Talk Radio.
Trio 5. M.I.A. Dean Caddy. Y'all already know what time it is. Throw them U's up. Throw them U's up. We gon' let the band deal with this.
Seven out the door on them big body things. Feel by the city, we the whole team.
You already know it.
Welcome to the Miami Hurricanes football pregame show on MSL Radio. The Hurricanes return home this week after losing two close games on the road to host the Hokies from Virginia Tech in a critical ACC Coastal Division clash. Hello, everyone. This is Joe Flack being joined today by just Eric Robinson for the pregame show, as Dylan Goldman attends the game, but will be joining us on the postgame show. Eric, it's up to you to carry me this week and make me look good this week. Are you up to the task?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. No problem. No problem at all. We can take care of this.
All right. So the past two seasons, this Hurricane team has appeared to crash and burn after losses to the Seminoles, going a combined 2-6 following those losses. What do you think? Does that pattern repeat itself this year, or is there any reason to believe this 2015 Hurricane squad can right the ship and make a run at the Coastal Division Championship, which still appears to be up for grabs?
You know what? Just based on personnel, you know, you wonder a little bit if they can make that turnaround, because last year's team, they had leaders in Denzel Perryman and Duke Johnson and Philip Dorsett that can, you know, be able to amend whatever was going on in the locker room. There's not really much of a veteran leadership in that locker room right now. So they have the talent to make a turnaround. They have the talent to put last week's loss behind them. But honestly, it's up to the coaching staff. And we've seen it this year so far. They're not getting off to great starts. And this, if there was ever a game where they would need to get off to a great start, is this one. Definitely this one.
Yeah, and this seems to be a game between two teams that are traveling the same journey. These are two teams that dominated the old Big East conference, but they've fallen on hard times in the ACC. And both teams are sitting on one loss already in the division. It seems to me the winner of this team could carry hope for a good season, and the loser of this game may have the wheels fall off their bus. Both coaches are on relative hot seats, although I think Golden's might be a little bit hotter. So this is an important game for both programs. What do you think? The winner of this game can still hold hope for winning that Coastal Division championship?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think the favorite coming into the season was Georgia Tech, and they have not looked like their normal selves so far to this year. So, I mean, even though Miami's 0-1 right now in the Coastal, they still have an opportunity to get to the championship game, and it starts today.
Yeah, Georgia Tech is 0-3. Duke and North Carolina sit on top of the division. Duke and Pittsburgh at 2-0, North Carolina 1-0, but all three of those teams, I think, are teams the Hurricanes could beat if they put their best game on the field. So I think today's game is very important for both the Hokies and Miami. Do you think Miami can get out of the doldrums of having that Seminoles loss send them on a downhill spiral? Do you think they can recover from that? You mentioned leadership, but does it help coming home to take on Virginia Tech after two games on the road?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially, you know, picking up wins on the road is not, you know, an easy task. But you would think that after losing in a shocker to Cincinnati and then coming back the next week and losing a heartbreaker to the rival Florida State, This is a perfect remedy. You know, you come back home, you got a Virginia Tech team that's not really all that great, and you have an opportunity to right the ship and get the 4-2 and move on to Clemson.
Yeah, even though that Cincinnati game was an out of conference loss, I think that one was more devastating to me than even Florida State. I think if the Hurricanes were sitting 4-1 right now in the season with that one loss only being the Seminoles, I would still have hopes for them. But, like I said, only one loss in their division, and they have Clemson still on the future schedule. But I think two losses might even end up on top of that Coastal division.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's why it's imperative to make to get this win today against Virginia Tech, because like you said, I mean, Clemson is not an easy team to defeat. Even though Clemson will be on the road in Miami next week, it's still not a lock to get a win. So this is a key game that they can get and put under their belt and focus on Clemson.
So what do we get from Virginia Tech this year? Both teams seem to be very evenly matched in the statistical categories. Now, the Hokies lost their season-starting quarterback, Michael Brewer, in the first game, but there's a chance he might return today. Brendan Motley has been getting better week by week. Does it really make much difference which QB starts for Virginia Tech, and what can we look for from the Hokie offense in this game?
I think it does make a difference. Even though Miami has seen their share of pocket passers and dual threat runners so far this year, over the past few seasons under Golden, what has been a thorn in Miami's side is trying to defend dual threat runners, dual threat quarterbacks who can take off and run. And that's what they have in Motley. Brewer, I'm not concerned as far as him being that guy out, you know, pull the ball down and take off to get a first down. He's more of a pocket passer, and, you know, that helps a lot as far as game planning. But if Motley plays and Motley starts and Motley sees a considerable amount of playing time, that's one thing you want to keep an eye on in this game, because he can definitely pull it down and take off, and he's the second leading rusher on Virginia Tech this year.
Yeah, now, due to my unfortunate schedule last week, I didn't get to join you on the post-game report from that Florida State game. And I wanted to mention in that, and I don't know if you guys brought it up, but on the defensive side, in that Florida State game, I think I saw for the first time some good play out of Mohammed. Is he starting to come on this year on that defensive line?
Yeah, he's starting to come around. And, you know, we saw a little bit out of Chad Thomas, too. He got in the backfield and made a couple plays behind the line of scrimmage. That's a tandem, Joe, that we've been wanting to see, you know, take over games at some point, and they really haven't up to this point. But, you know, last week was a good indicator that this might be the week, especially if they get Brewer, especially if Virginia Tech trots out Brewer at quarterback. This would definitely help so they can just pin their ears back and get to him.
Right, and even though Motley does have a different style, he has been a little bit turnover prone this year. The Hurricanes on defense, that's one thing they've done well so far, and Hurricanes as a team, that turnover category, they've done that well. Do you think we can turn over the Hokies a few times in this game?
Absolutely. You brought the whole turnover thing, and you know, that's been a pretty solid for Miami up until last week. They didn't have turnovers last. They didn't commit any turnovers last week. But this will definitely be an opportunity for them to get a couple of interceptions and give the ball back to Kaya. Because we all know, just as what we've seen so far, the best unit out of the two units is the offense, of course. And I think that Kaya is really starting to come into his own. He's really starting to get the attention of everybody across the nation. And all you want is for your defense to make some stops, get a couple of turnovers, and get the ball back to Kaya.
Yeah, with the Canes playing on a Thursday night and then the national spotlight last Saturday, Kaya is no longer a well-kept secret. I think people are starting to realize what the Hurricanes have as a quarterback this year. He's leading the ACC in passing, and I think he could be in for a good game, although statistically, again, Virginia Tech gives up far more rushing yards than they do passing yards. Do you think this is a game that maybe we see Yerby have a spectacular game today? Do you think the Hurricanes can take advantage of a Virginia Tech defense that historically is known for a tough defensive unit but has had a few holes in it this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you recall last year's game in Blacksburg, the big story of that game was Miami rushing for 300 yards on Virginia Tech. Right now, as far as Virginia Tech goes, they are, like you said, they're not really all that great as far as run defense. North Carolina State just ran for 200 yards, I believe, last week. It's something you want to see from this team based on the fact that it adds balance. You want to see a solid running game behind Kaya because we all know Kaya is good, 1,500 passing yards. And you want to see Yerbian Walton get off to a good start and get acclimated to the game. They were pretty much a non-factor last week against Florida State, so it would be great to see them bounce back.
Yeah, and you talked about the importance of a fast start, and the Hurricanes have had fast starts in four out of the five games this year. They scored on their first offensive possession, and you're hoping that that continues again in today's game, and I'm not sure why it shouldn't. But you know what, and I haven't brought it up, and we didn't talk about it last week, but I was talking about fast starts. You know what is really worrisome to me? The number of kickoffs that Miami has kicked off out of bounds. How can they correct that? I think at least once each game they've kicked off out of bounds, giving the opposition good starting field position to start a drive.
Well, yeah. There's really nothing you can do to rectify that, honestly. You just have to let your kicker know, hey, you can't give the defense – you know, bad position. You can't have the ball starting at the 40. I mean, the defense has already given up, you know, almost half the field of play already before the snap of the ball. So special teams has been not a good thing to lean on over Golden's tenure. And the interesting thing about that is Golden is actually the special teams coach. So it makes you wonder, like, what exactly is Golden doing for this to happen? I mean, they can't afford that today. Like I said, getting off to a fast start, that's one thing that they can't afford, and they can't give Virginia Tech good field position.
And, of course, Virginia Tech is special teams you. They have been for many years.
Yeah,
really specialize on their special teams, and they have won games based on their special teams performance.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. So, I mean, we all know that Beamer has had a history of having a solid special teams and, like you said, you know, having a special team that can turn the game around. So that's another thing to keep an eye on during this game.
And I think this game is important for both coaches' tenure at their schools. Now, Beamer is an icon at Virginia Tech, but his seat has gotten a little bit heated up in the last few years because Virginia Tech hasn't been performing in the ACC as well as expected. Do you think is Beamer's job in jeopardy any this year?
You know, last week I kind of tweeted about it, and I said, you know what, his situation is kind of sort of similar to what Bobby Bowden had at Florida State. You know, towards the end of Bobby Bowden's tenure, Florida State was not, you know, reeling off the double-digit wins that they had, you know, early in his tenure. And it got to the point to where kind of had to leave before he really wanted to, in my opinion. So I'm kind of seeing the same thing with Virginia Tech. You know, Virginia Tech has not been, you know, that strong team, that strong Hokie team that we're used to seeing. So I'm not going to say his seat is hot, but I think we may be coming across the end of his tenure soon within the next couple of seasons, honestly.
Right, and it's been a very tremendous career that he's had there in Blacksburg. Now, staying on that coaching line, I wanted to talk to you about this because we've talked all year about how hot Al Golden's seat is, and the college football coaching carousel started turning already this past week. Maryland fired Randy Edsall. Steve Sarkisian went down in flames on the West Coast at USC. And the old ball coach, Steve Spurrier, surprised everybody with his instantaneous in-season retirement at South Carolina. So that's three Power Five football programs that are going to start their coaching search. And some might tell you that if you don't join that party now, you're going to miss out on the opportunity for some very good coaching prospects. So today's game might send – do you think that fact that there are already – three Power Five programs looking for coaching new coaches might influence the Miami administration decision regarding Al Golden in season? And might today's result have an impact on that?
You know, that's a very interesting question. You know, I said it a few times on the Andrew Powell Show during this week that as far as Golden goes, this is the first time really in his tenure that we've actually seen alumni and boosters actually show concern about what's going on at Miami. And I took, because Andrew pretty much asked me the same question, I said, you know what, it may get to a point where the administration is feeling so much heat from the fan base, from the media, that they have to make a decision on Golden. And I think this may be the year, honestly. If we see another downslide like we saw last year, I think that the administration is really going to take into consideration, like, hey, we might have to make a change here. I mean, we saw that AD come out last week and said that they're going to reevaluate things at the end of the year. That's not what you want to hear if you're Al Golden, honestly. That's not what you want to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. So game by game, it seems to be very tenuous. But like I said, just the landscape of what happened this past week with three Power 5 teams losing or firing their head coaches, that may light a match under other programs saying maybe we shouldn't wait to the end of the year to make a change if a change is inevitable.
Well, the thing – okay, well, let me ask you this then. Like, they're 3-2 right now. A mid-season firing of Al Golden, is that something that the program really wants to see at this point? Because, I mean, let's say they do fire Al Golden after today. Let's say they lose, hypothetically, they lose, and he gets fired after today. You might as well can the rest of the season. I mean, it's just, we know that, you know, this. We saw that last year that this team doesn't really play good against adversity, and they're definitely going to see it if Golden does get fired midseason. So, I mean, the majority of the fan base wants to see Golden gone. And it's going to be a tough decision for the administration whether they want to do that in the middle of the season or not.
But college football is a much different animal than professional football because
Absolutely.
Of the recruiting aspect to it.
Absolutely.
And sometimes an end-of-the-season evaluation and change in the coaching staff can really put you behind the eight ball in the recruiting process. So sometimes I think in college ball – in a sense, you do give up on the season, but so that's the question. At what point? With two losses, with three losses in conference, is that the time to make the change so that your prospective recruits can know who the head coach that they would be committing to is earlier in the process?
Yeah, I mean, and it's funny you brought up the recruiting because I said it also on the Andrew Powell Show this week that the loss to Florida State last year got the train rolling for decommitments. If you follow the recruiting of the recruiting class this year, they lost 19 decommitments, which is an insane amount. I mean, that's almost an entire recruiting class. They lost 19 decommitments last year, and it started after the Florida State game. So they got a loss now, and this 2016 class is coming up is already top 10. Are we going to? I mean, we saw earlier this week. One hurricane decommit and commit to North Carolina. Like, is the ball going to get rolling again? I mean, it has you a little worried as a Hurricane fan. Like, this may mirror last year, honestly. Especially if they get off to a bad start today and end up losing to Virginia Tech, we may see a similar slide like we saw last year.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think each game is very tenuous. Now, I think any loss other than the Clemson game could be Al Golden's last.
Yeah,
including the game today.
Yeah, you got a point there. I mean, the schedule, just looking at the schedule, they can still turn the ship around and get back to the ACC championship game. But, I mean, losing today, Virginia Tech, and you got the number 5 team in the nation coming next week, and then you got Duke, Virginia, North Carolina, Georgia Tech, and Pitt to close out the season. And if you recall, they lost to all those teams except Duke and North Carolina last year. So I don't want to make the fan base nervous. I really don't. But is this something that you have to keep in the back of your mind? Like, this is starting to set up a little bit like it did in 2014.
Yeah, and I don't know that we're necessarily making the fan base nervous. I think all of us knew coming into the season that this was a make or break year for Al Golden and his staff. And the question is, when does it break? What makes it and what breaks it? So I think that they need to do, let's leave the head coach alone for a little while. What they need to do is beat Virginia Tech today. You tell me, how do the Hurricanes the Hokies in today's game?
They have to start off the same way that they started off against Nebraska. You got to get off to a hot start, get aggressive. The play calling is going to have to be aggressive for not just the first quarter, not just the second quarter, but all four quarters. We saw last week that against Florida State, they got off to a kind of a sluggish start and they had to fight their way back into the game. They can't afford that this week. I mean, even though Virginia Tech is not a great team, the last thing you want is an emotional letdown following a loss to your rival last week. So they got to get off to a hot start and stay aggressive in all four quarters.
Yeah, they've got to put last week's game behind them, and actually they got to put all five previous games behind them and take this season from this game going forward. Now
you would hope that it's already behind them now. You would hope so. I wouldn't want them to take the field and they're still thinking about it. Like that right there can throw you off mentally at least. Do you hope it's already behind them?
Absolutely. Now I see in the weather forecast that it says it's a little bit windy out there today, so that may influence the passing attack from both teams, and that might put more pressure on Yerby and Walton to have a good game. But I expect to see a good offensive game from the Hurricanes today.
Yeah, absolutely. I expect the same thing. You know, get off to a fast start, get Kaya going. Kaya, he, in my opinion, he played pretty impressive in his first trip to Doak Campbell Stadium last week. So you got to keep attacking it. And one thing we saw last week that we didn't see in a long time, we saw an emergence of Stacey Coley. Let's see if he can continue this. We know the guy has talent. He had a horrible sophomore year. But, you know, a game like what he had last week at Doak Campbell, you know, this can be something that can, you know, boost his confidence as well. So it'd be interesting.
Yeah, and you know what, Eric? I'm taking a look at Virginia Tech's schedule right now, and this might be the toughest game they have left on their schedule. Virginia Tech looks like they, following Miami, they have Duke, Boston College, Georgia Tech, UNC, and Virginia. So they look like they could run the table if they get by the Canes. The Canes have almost the same schedule, but you throw Clemson in the mix. So the Canes still have one tough game. I think the winner of this game has hopes for ending the season near the top of the conference.
Yeah, you're right. And the scheduling of this game is kind of, you know, it's kind of interesting because, you know, you had the Cincinnati game, a road game, and a lot of people, including myself, said that it was a trap game. And it played out that way, and it just so happened to be one. Well, you had your game against Florida State, your rival. You got a loss. So, in my opinion, this is a trap game here, too. This is a combination of a trap game and an emotional letdown because you lost to your rival in a close game, and then you got Clemson on the forefront next week. So you got to be focused into Virginia Tech. And not as if Virginia Tech is a juggernaut, but you can't have your mind on what happened last week or what could happen next week. Virginia Tech today.
Yeah, and I think, again, we talked about it earlier, but both these teams seem to be almost mirror images of each other. And from either team, I think you can expect a very good game or you can expect a very bad game. They have both shown the ability to play very good football and very average football. So it all depends which Hokie team shows up today and which Hurricanes team shows up today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You would
hope that home cooking
for for the Hurricanes is just what the doctor ordered.
Yeah, you will hope so. You will hope so, especially against an opponent that's not, you know, that is not on the top of their game right now. I mean, Virginia Tech is 3-3, and they're definitely not one of the better teams in the ACC. But I mean, you would kind of hope that, and it, like I said, it sets up as a perfect remedy for them. But yeah, it can also be just another game that we kind of look back on during Al Golden's tenure and say, you know what? There's no reason they should have lost that game. It can very well play out that way.
So I think we've covered the Miami offense pretty well on who you think the key players are. What are your keys on the defensive side of the ball for the Hurricanes today in order to come away with a win against the Hokies?
It's in my opinion, it starts and it ends with that defensive line. There's not a shortage of athleticism on the Hurricanes defense, you know, and they had Deion Bush come back last week. He missed the first half, of course, because he had targeting in the Cincinnati game. So, I'm sorry, he had targeting in the Nebraska game. But they had Deion Bush back last week, as well as Jamal Carter. But to me, in my opinion, this game begins and ends with that defensive line. Quan Muhammad, Chad Thomas, those guys are going to have to get after the quarterback. And it's really not that difficult of a shot, but, I mean, it's all of whether they have it up in their head. So I'm looking at the defensive line very closely to this.
Yeah, and I agree with that, but I'll go a little bit deeper. I say the defensive front seven. So the line is important, but those linebackers have got to stay in their lane, especially with a scrambling and running quarterback. They have got to stay disciplined. They have to stay in their lanes. And I think all year long the Miami defensive backfield has proven to be a solid, strong unit for this club. I see now Dalvin Cook is a special individual. There's not many teams in America that can defend Dalvin Cook very well.
Yeah.
But I've seen some other teams just gash this Miami defense up the middle, running off tackle and getting 10, 15, 20 yards at a chunk. So I think they need to get a little bit more solid there and stop those easy off-tackle runs for first downs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the recurring things that we've had all year long, and Al Golden said it in his preseason press conference, that the three most important things to improve for this Hurricanes team are get better in the red zone, get better on third down conversions, have fewer penalties. Well, those have been three bugaboos that have been damaging the Hurricanes team all year long. Last week they did a little bit better on third down conversions, but I think those remain three keys and they remain three problems that this Hurricanes team just can't seem to get over the hump with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it makes you scratch your head a little bit. I'm going to chalk some of that to play calling. I've seen throughout the year where we've had third down calls and we're doing, you know, little short passes in front of the yard marker. So I'm going to have to chalk that up a little bit to the play calling. But, yeah, once again, just like it was in 2014, once again, third down conversion has come back and bit Miami in the butt, and it's hopefully they'll clean it up today before Clemson next week, of course. But
so, what do you expect today? What is your key to today's game, and what is your prediction on the final outcome?
Andrew asked me the same question, and you know I expect a close first half, just based on the fact that this is a rivalry. So I expect a close first half, but I expect Miami to really put the game away in the third quarter. And as far as, you know, the prediction goes with the score, I want to go. Well, I'm gonna go with Miami, of course, and I'm gonna say 38-24. I think it's a relatively close game in the first half, but I think Miami puts it away. And, you know, they move on to Clemson next week.
All right, and I see the Hurricanes winning surprisingly easy today, and I'm going to give them a 38-14 lead.
Ooh,
so let's go watch the game. join me afterwards for the post-game show, and we'll talk about what we see. This has been the MSL Radio Miami Hurricanes Football Pregame Show. Join us after the game for our thoughts on the Canes' performance and a look ahead to next week's game. On behalf of Eric Robinson, this is Joe Flack saying enjoy the game and let's go Canes.